And the list goes on, on down the line. And the list goes on.
It's The List Goes On. Ryan, you sent in your super chat just a little bit late, but I got you. Doesn't matter. He says, if you had to put a percentage on it, does Sasha return to WWE before the end of the year? I'm going 50-50 everything Sasha Banks right now. Like, that woman is so good at keeping me guessing. And yeah, man, like I just think I don't know if there's been anybody better at making me guess what the fuck they're going to do next.
This is why I always bring her up on the show and ask you to debunk stuff.
Yeah.
Because everybody asks about Sasha Banks. You know what I mean? So that's why I always feel the need to bring it up. So I couldn't help but smile when I heard the character that MJF has been cast to play in that movie. If you know anything about Lance Von Erich, so people have probably heard that there's a biopic in the works right now in production called The Iron Claw about the Von Erich family. And people have probably seen the pictures of Zac Efron because he's playing Kevin Von Erich, even though he looks like Carrie. But still,
I mean, first off, how did Riddle not get cast in that?
Yeah, you know what? He would probably make a... Well, Riddle kind of looks like Mike. Do you know what the Von Erich sons all look like?
Yeah, of course.
He looks more like Mike, maybe. Maybe Kevin, maybe. I could see Riddle being Kevin. But Zach looks like Carrie. But anyway, so Zach is playing Kevin Von Erich. MJF has been cast to play the role of Lance Von Erich. And this is fascinating. Do you know the story of Lance Von Erich, Sean?
I know the story of pretty well all of them.
Okay, so in case you're a younger fan, so Lance Von Erich was not actually a member of the Von Erich family or the real name Atkinson family. He wasn't a member of that family. What happened was one of the younger sons of Fritz named Mike Von Erich came down with toxic shock syndrome and he couldn't wrestle. And the Von Erichs were in the midst of a feud with the Freebirds at that time. So they needed another Von Erich, you know, son or family member. So they brought in a guy named William Vaughn and they christened him Lance Von Erich. And they said that he was a cousin and claimed that they claimed that he was the son of Fritz's fictional brother, Waldo Von Erich, who Sean, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing. I worked with Waldo Von Erich a couple of times.
I'm not surprised.
And I'm going to tell you a story about Waldo in a minute that you are going to find funny. Waldo was Canadian. And so from the Toronto area. So I worked with him a couple of times. So
yeah, from Canada, Texas.
Yeah, Canada, Texas.
Like a good old Von Erich boy.
Yeah, yeah. So wait till I tell you the story about Waldo. So Lance was a fictional Von Erich cousin. And the Von Erich sons didn't want to work with him because they had a reputation in Texas at that time as being like these wholesome rock star-esque brothers. And Kevin and Carrie felt that if the truth got out, it was going to tarnish their reputation and make them look like liars. So they didn't want to work with this guy as Lance Von Erich. Fritz got the final say and they did it, but it didn't last. He was only there for about a couple of years. And they go and cast MJF as the fake Von Erich. So I'm very, very interested in where that goes. What do you think about, of all people to play the fake Von Erich, they got MJF? I think it's fascinating.
I do think it's fascinating. I think, one, I think he'll kill it. I like to do bat flips whenever we get a story right, but I reported on Fightful Select just the day after his Dynamite promo in LA. He was sticking around in town to do some meetings in Hollywood, and that ain't it. Like, he's got other stuff that he's done as well. But when I saw this immediately, I thought Gino, like, he would be great as Gino Hernandez.
Yeah, you know what?
Like, I mean, you can't think of anybody. I mean, plus he studies Gino Hernandez for the love of God, but I think that he'll kill it in any role that he does. I think he'd be great at it. So I'm very excited to see this, and this is a big deal for him.
Yes. Is it getting a theatrical run or is it a streaming service deal?
Now that I don't know, but okay. I did notice one interesting thing about this story, Jimmy.
What's up?
In the Deadline article, it was mentioned that he is repped by activists. Do you know why that is significant?
Is that AAA?
No. Activist is something that Tony Khan is a partner in.
Okay.
So, I mean, that seems pretty interesting to me. And you got people that straight up advise Tony Khan on a lot of these deals that work there. Gosh, I can't remember what his name was that does it. Hold on, I can tell you because I was fishing for info. yesterday about it right now. Let's see. Oh, yeah. A guy by the name of Bernie does a lot of work with Tony Khan there. So I think that's very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. It means he's got a tighter connection than maybe he wants to lead on. That's interesting. Let me tell you my Waldo story real quick. So when I was getting into independent wrestling, you're really going to like this. When I was getting into independent wrestling, Waldo was part of a promotion. That's where I met Showtime Eric Young and Cody and Angelina Love. And I met her through this promotion in Western Ontario. And Waldo was connected. I don't know if he was one of the trainers. I don't know, but he was connected. Waldo was kind of a gruff older guy, and he thought that he had more influence than he really did, right?
Yeah. So
one day we're in the locker room, and there was another guy named Ike Shaw that was part of the company who tried to pretend that he was the brother of Mike Shaw, a.k.a. Basham Booger. So Ike Shaw used any...
Was this before or after Basham Booger was a thing?
This was before. Or no, after. It was after. Yeah, but Mike Shaw was known elsewhere, right? He was Norman in WCW. And so Ike Shaw, he created the name Ike Shaw to pretend that he was related to Mike Shaw and then Waldo. So we're in the locker room and they said, you know, we're going to come up with a new word for kayfabe. And they said, this is going to spread all around the independents, at least in Ontario. And they're like, everybody's going to be using this instead of kayfabe for, you know, when they hear it. So instead of saying kayfabe, they wanted everybody to say, where's Waldo? And they were adamant that if you're in a situation where, let's say there's a fan and you don't want them to know anything, you don't say kayfabe, you say, where's Waldo? And they believed that that was going to catch fire and that everybody in Ontario and beyond was going to say, where's Waldo instead of kayfabe. I don't think I ever heard that again after that day.
That is brutally stupid as fuck.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That's what they were going to do. It was Ike Shaw and Waldo Von Erich. I don't know if I know Waldo passed. I don't know about Ike Shaw, but anyway, that's what happened. So Braun Strowman. So I was pretty critical of Sammy Guevara when I thought that he was being stupid on Twitter and he's airing his dirty laundry and he's shitting on his coworkers. I thought it was dumb. I thought Tony Khan needs to tell him to shut the fuck up. Braun Strowman deserves the same criticism. Because for him to shit on the high flyers of the locker room, and I realized that he tried to spin it later like it was a joke. He kind of took it that direction, and he's at the trampoline park, and he's like, look, I'm a flippy flopper now too. And it was not intended to be a joke at first, I think. I think it was intended to be mean-spirited. And of course, guys like Mustafa Ali aren't going to like it. And I saw that, and I thought, you just got back. You just got back. You're already going to alienate yourself when you just got back. And here's an added wrinkle to this, Sean. Who was it that launched an app about mental health because they were bullied as a child? And they, right? And so now here you are, really for no reason. Like nobody did anything to bring that on. He just felt like shitting on that style. Like,
he has always been really cool in person. But like...
It's just stupid. So, there's no benefit to it at all.
And there's a lot of people like this. And you always hear that, well, they're cool in person. They're cool in person. Well, if they're an absolute asshole for no reason, I am completely in favor of giving people what they dish out. 100%. Ain't got to figure. It doesn't take long to follow me on Twitter to figure that out. I'm completely okay with that. But it's just so random to be like, oh, these flippy fucks. Why the... You're not there for that. That's not why you're there. And even if you wanted to, you couldn't. You can't do what these people can do. And guess what? They can't do what you do. It's a fucking variety show. It's a violent variety show. And you want to display the many different types of violence. You know what? I like watching flyweights fight. I like watching heavyweights fight. Sometimes I like to see a great technical 5-round fight. Sometimes I like to watch Francis Ngannou just knock somebody's block off in 10 seconds.
Right.
It's variety, and he's got to know better. And guess what? There was a variety that he was a part of that didn't do shit. Like 25 people showed up to watch it.
Yeah.
And And it just, the thing is, I thought it was a good idea when Control Your Narrative first started, and they had the cinematic feel to it. It was good shit before the weird political and all that other shit that got added to it.
The Dark Match.
I thought that it was really fun the first time I saw it. And then, god damn, man. Like, this is so, like, and it ain't an angle because you're talking about stars and matches and all that stuff. I don't think stars and matches should be a thing unless you're speaking from a kayfabe perspective and you're saying, I don't give a fuck about stars because I want to knock people out immediately and pin them and go to the goddamn pay window.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I know he was proud of the match with Omos, and good on him. Remember we talked last week about, I thought he was going to power slam him, and good on him. He got him up and he hit the power slam. That's great. And it got a good reaction, but it just, it came out of nowhere. No one shit on Braun that justified a response. He just volunteered those comments. And with all due respect to Braun Strowman, he will never in his career hit the level of Rey Mysterio ever. He's never going to hit the level of Rey Mysterio. It's just not going to happen. Rey fits that category of style. He's a legend. He's a legend, man. And he's inspired a whole generation. And so to me, I think of a guy like that. Good on Ali that Ali said something like, can you teach me how to get fired? You know, to Braun. But I don't know why you do that. You just came back. And now you're going to alienate yourself to a large portion of your locker room. I just don't understand. And maybe he made amends afterwards. Maybe he's apologized to everybody. Again, he tried to turn it into a joke and he had the trampoline park and everything. But I just don't understand where that would come from, especially from a guy talking about being bullied as a kid and coming up with a mental health app. And it feels like he's still got a lot of insecurity inside of him.
You know? Unfortunately, it does, because I think he's an amazing performer.
Yeah, and he's gotten himself in incredible shape, and he's great with the crowd. He's really great at playing off the crowd. And again, good on him. He got Omos up, and it reminded me, like I said last week, it reminded me of Bulldog Warlord. He got Omos up, and he dropped him with the power slam, and he got a great reaction from the crowd when he did it. Good on him. But I just don't know why he would go there. There was no reason. If you're proud of your match, that's great. But there's no reason to shit on others. I didn't understand that. So, Braun's got to be smarter with his social media presence a little bit.
And I mean, when you got a guy like Chris Jericho dunking on you, first off, I think that bullshit of being like, oh, they're bagging groceries. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? Like, and if people tweet that in the replies to me too, I'm like, who gives a shit? Like, they'll be like, oh, they're flipping burgers. Good. The world needs people to flip burgers and bag groceries. It's hard, honest work. Yeah. Why the hell do you want to alienate those people that are, quite honestly, your audience? Like, demean them because they're a piece of shit or a racist or a bigot, not because they're doing good, honest work. I think that's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, it was
so
bad.
Stupid.
It was bad. And he's had a really good run so far. He's had a really good run. It's like that whole Truth Commission bullshit thing is forgotten now. And the train sounds running around. All that crap is all behind him. And he's having a really good babyface run. He was always great with the crowd. And he's got that. Stuff like this tarnishes him. And I wish he would learn to shut the fuck up when it comes to social media. But that's what
I
he mean, did.
I don't care if he shuts the fuck up. Just be smarter in what you say.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Or be ready for the heat that comes with it. Because I'm not buying the LOL, I'm not actually bothered thing. I'm just not buying it.
I agree, too. I think he tried to spin it as a joke when he saw the backlash. But yeah. I think that there was real sentiment to what he was saying. Okay, I want to tell the story and ask you if you ever heard this and what you think, how you think this would have been received, because I think it could have been cool. So Court Bauer told the story. Of course, he used to write for WWE, and he told a story on the Insiders podcast. He said back in 2006, when Bret the Hitman Hart kind of returned to the fold in WWE and he did the Hall of Fame, there was a proposal for WrestleMania 22. And the proposal was going to be a tag team match. One team was going to be captained by Bret Hart. The other team was going to be captained by Vince McMahon. Bret's team was going to be Hart Dynasty wrestlers. So presumably Harry Smith and Tyson Kidd and maybe even Teddy Hart. And Vince's team was going to include Shawn Michaels and Shawn Michaels students, including like Kendrick and Paul Lundgren and Brian Danielson.
Would have been a good match.
And it would have been years before they did it, when Bret, you know, wasn't physically really, not that he necessarily would have been physically much better, maybe in 06, but it would have been before they did it, when it was a bit of a train wreck with Brett and Vince. How do you like? I think that could have been really interesting, especially with Shawn Michaels' involvement, Sean.
Buddy, if we would have had Bret Hart, Harry Smith, Teddy Hart, piece of shit, by the way, absolute piece of shit, but
good in the ring.
Tyson Kidd at that point, even young. And then on the other end, Shawn Michaels, Lance Cade, Brian Danielson, Paul London. I can't remember if Brian Kendrick was one of them. Jesus Christ. I mean, first off, there would have been a lot of string beans in there at that point. They were all very small, but it would have been a hell of a match. And I love a good Survivor Series match, but yeah.
I think, they were pitching it for Mania 22, that
could have been good too.
I think it could have been really interesting, and especially Shawn Michaels' involvement with Brett. Yes. I think it would have been very interesting. So, that was Court's story. The one they ended up doing with the Hart family, I don't know if I should say this publicly, but whatever. Bruce irritates me. He always wants the spotlight whenever he's out there, and he's irritating. So I would have rather gone in this direction than the Hart sibling direction.
He would have been like 56, 57 at that point.
Well, he was involved in the match as the referee. Remember the one with Brett and Vince?
Yeah, I remember. Because
he likes that spotlight all the time. You know,
he sure does.
So the only other thing I was going to ask you is the 24/7 title officially done?
It looks like it. I'm going to have a little update on it this weekend because I was actually working on a story this past week about the future of that title. And well, I think we figured out the future of that damn title on Monday. So I'll post what I had anyway, but yeah,
I want to say one thing too, Dana Brooke. So she was upset by the decision. She posted on social media a little bit. She, to her credit, she tried her damnest. You know, they didn't give her a lot of opportunity. She was out there jobbing out all the time, doing the stupid skits and all this shit. She tried her damnest to legitimize that title, but it wasn't meant to be. Before they got her involved, it was already dead creatively. But I want to give Dana Brooke props because she tried. She worked hard. She tried to improve in the ring. She tried to legitimize. She was the only champion for a long time who proudly wore that belt, you know, took pictures with it on social media. To everybody else, it was just a joke. And so props to her. She tried. I know she's upset by the decision, but it is what it is. Like I said, it was dead before it ever got to her. And that's just kind of how it was.
Unfortunate. I gave my thoughts on it on Monday. I thought it was, again, a storyline crutch that you could use to make the show more fun, different, take it elsewhere. And they fucked it up. They fucked it up from the jump, and then Triple H just didn't care about it.
Right.
So,
all right. That's all I got for you, bud.
Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.